Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 48. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. A little busy.
Busy. You just told me you were scuba diving. How busy are you?
Well, I'm getting work during the day. I'm working on my scuba cert at night, trying to get ready for some vacation here, so.
That's right. Where are you going again? Somewhere really exotic, right?
I'm going to Manila first, then Bali, and then Komodo, where the dragons are, and then Thailand, and then Cambodia.
Wow. That's exotic, my friend.
I try to be novel, so that's kind of my modus operandi.
Awesome. Hey, well, VMworld is coming up, so I thought we should probably get this one over with pretty quickly, but it's time for the VMworld preview. And so last year, we brought Duncan Epping on to talk about some of the stuff that was going on, so I figured, hey, that was so much fun. Let's bring him back on. So Duncan, welcome back to the podcast for the VMworld 2017 preview.
Cool. My pleasure, guys. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be an awesome show.
Absolutely. Yeah, you did a pretty good blog post. Again, I was reading through it. For those of you that don't know, Duncan is at yellow-bricks.com, and he wrote a blog post around VMworld 2017 is around the corner and which sessions that you should be looking out for. I think you put about 20 or so, but I was thinking maybe we should walk through about, you know, the top 10 sessions and see which one of those align with John and ours.
Sure, no problem. You know, I've been doing this for a while. A couple of years back, I started at least creating these lists for myself because it's always, there's so many different sessions. I think there's over, I don't know how many hundreds of sessions listed, right? So it's very difficult to pick. So I try to select some of the sessions that I think that are interesting. Hopefully I was successful, but I typically find out after the event because most of these sessions I will be attending myself.
Yeah, John just told me there were 735 sessions currently, but that is subject to change. I'm sure that the list is going to grow as more customers submit their sponsored sessions and all that, right?
Hey, it's not just that. It's also a lot of the sessions that are now under NDA. So a lot of the stuff that's going to be announced at VMworld, those sessions haven't been published yet. So, you know, typically on the day of VMworld itself or the day before, you will see an additional 50, 60, maybe even more sessions popping up with really extremely new, cool content.
Nice. Yeah, all right. Well, hey, before we talk about the sessions, John, I don't even know if I told you this, so this might be news to you as well as the podcast listeners. Drum roll. We, the Virtually Speaking Podcast, are going to have a booth in the HCI zone. What do you think of that?
Woohoo!
Yeah, so we're going to be doing some interviews. We're going to be handing out some of our fancy new t-shirts with our new logo on them. Going to be meeting up with folks and then doing some technical interviews. We're going to schedule some interviews as well with some VMworld leadership, some other partners, and some other customers and stuff like that. So if you do listen and you want to come hang out with John and I and maybe chat with us on the podcast, then be sure to swing by the HCI zone.
I just heard there's going to be an Ask Pete Anything or a Stump the Pete, you know, time frame. So this should be fun.
A Stump the Chump? Yeah.
Stump the Chumps. Though.
Yeah. And so what I'll do is I'll bring a bunch of those Virtually Speaking Podcast t-shirts. And if you can stump John or myself, then you'll probably get a t-shirt out of it. Cool. All right. So we'll see you at the HCI zone. So Duncan, let's start with your list here. I know there's a lot more sessions and I think there's, you know, John, chime in anytime you want on some of the sessions if it's not on this list, but why don't we use this as a guide? Duncan, why don't you walk through, say, the top 10 sessions that you had listed in no particular order, but the top 10 sessions that you had on your blog post?
Yeah, that's very challenging. I listed 15 sessions and I think, you know, all of them are worth attending. There's a couple of sessions that I think are special. The first one I'm going to mention, I'm not picking this randomly because this is probably one of my favorite sessions that I attended last year. It's the vCenter Performance Deep Dive by Ravi and Priya. I attended that session last year. It was probably, you know, one of the best sessions I've ever seen at any VMworld over the past 10 years or so. Ravi is an excellent presenter. The content was extremely deep. He went over all of the different processes that are part of the vCenter appliance. He explained for every single process, what it is that it does, what some of the challenges are with the process, itself, what kind of issues you could be facing. And he basically explained the whole layout. He explained the whole vCenter architecture and where some of the bottlenecks could be when you run at a certain scale. He also explained what kind of levels of skill you could go up to without running into any issues. It was just an excellent session. So the vCenter performance deep dive, by far my favorite session last year, and I suspect it's going to be at least in the top five again this year. So if you can attend that session, make sure to attend the vCenter performance deep dive. The other one that I'm really looking forward to is the storage at memory speed. It's a session about non-volatile memory, and it's by Rajesh and Richard Brunner. And Richard is one of the principal architects within VMware. He's closely aligned with Intel. And Rajesh has been working on everything related to memory over the past couple of years. So things like transparent page sharing, large pages, small pages, you name it. Rajesh was responsible for a lot of that work. I've seen some of his sessions in the past. I actually attended one of his sessions at VMware Radio, one of our internal conferences,
right,
which was also on the topic of non-volatile memory. And, you know, it's a whole new concept, and the way people are going to use it is not really what I expected people to use it. So the type of use cases for it are kind of surprising in a way. Of course, vSAN potentially in the future is one big use case. And because vSAN is a clustered solution, we provide you some level of availability, you name it. But if you look at how we're planning on exposing it in the future for vSphere itself, I think this is going to be a really interesting session for those who actually need non-volatile memory for certain applications. So I think that one is going to be really interesting. And Rajesh is a great presenter. I've never seen Richard presenting, but you know, I've heard of his reputation and his skill set. So I think that session is going to be one of the best sessions at VMworld.
Yeah, that's and it's got a good title too: Storage at Memory Speed. Yeah, that's exciting to even imagine.
Yeah, who doesn't want to have storage at memory speed? I think everyone wants that. But there's a lot of ramifications, right? You know, there are risks associated with it. There's a cost associated with it. And I expect that these guys will go over all of these challenges as well. You know, what is required from an application perspective? What is required from the hypervisor? What will it do to HA? What will happen to DRS? Will vMotion still work? And a lot of these challenges, I suspect that these guys will go over them, and that will make it an interesting session for sure. The other session that I'm personally really interested in is the vSphere 6.5 Host Resources Deep Dive.
Oh, yeah.
By Frank and Niels. As you guys know, they just released the book. I wrote a review or appraisal or whatever you want to call it on the book already. You can find it on my blog. You know, I've known Frank for ages, and I've known Niels for a while as well. And I worked with Frank on a couple of books, four or five. And, you know, I know what kind of person he is, and I know how deep he likes to go. And still, I was surprised when I received the book about the amount of pages, the level of depth, the amount of words, the way they explain things. It's, you know, it's extremely deep, you know, 570 pages, 569 or whatever it is. A lot of screenshots, a lot of diagrams.
Oh, yeah.
But the explanations are great. And I suspect something similar for their session. I've seen Niels and Frank presenting many times. Niels is probably not too well known yet, but I think that's going to change after this VMworld, and especially after this book. I think they, or he put his name on the map for sure. He's a great presenter, by the way. So, you know, I expect a lot of these two guys.
Yeah, so for those of you that can't see what we're doing right now, which is most of you, I want you to listen to this. Ready? Tell me if you can hear this. Still going. This is a huge book. This is a serious book.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go on my trip, and I'm like, oh, the book's coming. I'm going to bring it with me. And then I look at the book. I'm like, that's kind of heavy. I'm like, is it? Yeah, it's worth the wait. I'm going to carry it with me. Yeah. But it's big enough that I was like, actually, to think twice. I'm like, all right, where is this going to fit in my pack? Like,
yeah, we're actually bringing them on the podcast, hopefully next week, if not next week, the week after. But we're going to not only talk about the book a little bit, but sort of the process of making books. Because I know, Duncan, you've been through the process a bunch of times, and Frank has, and I know a lot of people have those questions about how you actually go about making these types of books. But I think it'll be an interesting conversation with both Niels and Frank. So looking forward to that, and also looking forward to their session, because I went to his deep dive session last year, and it was no joke. For sure, those guys are very, very, very smart.
Yeah, I fully agree. And now, especially now with the book out, I suspect there will be multiple topics covered, probably stuff like Numa. Neil's probably going to cover the networking part. I've seen their session at the Dutch VMUG and the stuff that Niels was talking about, networking drivers, how to tweak them, what the impact is of certain settings. That was really interesting. And I was surprised about the stuff that he managed to figure out by himself. Because remember, Niels doesn't work for VMware, right? For people like us, you know, we can get some of the inside info by talking to the engineers.
Yep.
But this guy doesn't work for us. So he needs to test and tweak and just figure it out by himself by reverse engineering stuff, which is really impressive. So I suspect that in the upcoming 12 months, he potentially will work for us because I can see people, you know, wanting to recruit him. At least I would if I was in the networking team.
Yeah.
Is this Duncan once again locking down yet another referral bonus? So I see what this is.
It's not about the referral bonus. It's about bringing people on board that you think that you can work well with.
Oh, yeah. The talent.
There are a lot of impressively smart and clever people working at this company.
I agree. And it's not just about, you know, how smart they are, but also from a social perspective. You know, people like Niels and Frank are always out there. They attend a lot of events. You know, they always try to present at events. You know, they're really active in the community, and that, you know, counts for a lot, in my opinion. And that's typically when we have an opening, and I look for people that, you know, potentially fit in that opening. That's typically what I look for. I'm not looking for the smartest guy. I'm looking for a smart guy that also, from a social perspective, will fit in and also gives a lot back to the community.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of such a guy, there are two of them, actually. John Nicholson and Pete Keeler have a session that's on your top 10.
Yeah, it's funny because it's the session that I did with John last year. We did the day in the life of an IO. And this year, it's John and Pete doing the session. I can't recall having seen Pete present before, but considering the material that he has created for our team, the storage and availability business unit, the slide decks, and you name it, all of the stuff that he creates, the speaker notes, you know, it's really in-depth. It's excellent. So, you know, I expect a lot. I've been on stage with John, so I know what to expect. The guy never stops talking. Right? And he's a geek, or probably should say a nerd.
Nerd.
There we go. I'll take it.
Deep down, he knows his stuff. I know Pete knows his stuff as well, an extremely smart guy, but I've never seen him present. So that one is going to be interesting. And especially with the new stuff in vSAN 6.5 and 6.6 and potentially some more stuff coming up, it's going to be interesting to see how that impacted the IO path. And, you know, for instance, what does encryption do to the IO path? That's going to be interesting. So that one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's we're excited because it's fun that, I mean, the session had a great attendance last year, but there's so many new things going on with the IO path. And I'm sure there may be a little bit of refresher on some things, but we want to go deep and go fast in terms of discussing all the new things that are going on and have been released since then. And with vSAN releasing twice a year, there's always new fun tweaks and things going on.
Yeah, agreed. So the other session, by the way, I'm really looking forward to. It's a session where they actually paired an excellent engineer with a pure marketing guy. It's the Virtual Volumes Technical Deep Dive by Patrick Birch and this marketing guy called Pete Fletcher.
I know that guy.
I'm kidding. I've attended a couple of sessions by yourself, Pete, and by Patrick, and every single time they were both entertaining and educational. So, you know, again, the Virtual Volumes Deep Dive, you have Patrick Dirks, the engineering lead for Virtual Volumes. You have Pete, the tech marketing guy, who's been talking to customers, you know, been playing with all of this stuff in his lab, so knows all of the different use cases. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting session for sure, and especially because over the last 12 months, we introduced some new functionality for Virtual Volumes, things like replication. I suspect a lot of people over the last 12 months have started using the new functionality. So some of the stories around that are going to be more interesting to hear, you know, some of the use cases. What have people been doing? Have they been automating some of these different new capabilities that are part of eVols? I think that one is going to be a really interesting interesting session. And like I said, you know, these sessions are not only about the educational aspect, it's also about the speakers. There's a reason I picked these sessions. It's not just purely for the stuff that they will provide in terms of content. It's also how they present the content, right? I've seen some really extremely deep sessions, right? You know, they go down to the nitty-gritty part, how the VMX works, processes work, you name it, all of the different configuration options. But, you know, to a certain extent, it's also how you explain the content itself. It's a really important part, in my opinion. And I know, you know, you two guys will do really, really well. Plus, you know, Patrick is from Holland.
Yeah.
So what more can I want?
Well, Patrick, I got to tell you, for a dev lead, usually, and I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time, when you're a hardcore engineer and you're managing engineers, probably not the number one pick for presenting in a session. But Patrick does not fit that stereotype at all. He has like a teacher's heart. So he does a really, really good job of explaining the content. I've had the opportunity to co-present with him many times in different scenarios. And we're kind of working into a bit of a system, the two of us. We work well together when we present this content. So I'm always looking forward to presenting with Patrick on Virtual Volume. So should be a good one.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, you know, to be honest, if you look at my list, there's a lot of engineers on the list, a lot of engineering leads, some of the principal engineers, and most of them really are really good presenters. So it's I know, you know, in the past we've seen a lot of sessions at VMworld where the presenters weren't always top notch, but then again, you know, if this guy sits in a room 40 hours a day or 40 hours a week, right, 50 hours a week, all he does is coding, and he presents maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, what can you expect?
Yep.
It's not easy to go up on stage in front of 700 people. That's something that a lot of people tend to forget. It's a big audience. So, you know, every once in a while, there's going to be a session which may, from a presentation perspective, may be disappointing. Yeah, but keep in mind that these guys don't do this on a daily basis either. Having said that, a while ago, I saw a session by Matt Emder. He's doing a session again at VMworld this year with Ben Meadowcroft on the topic of VMware Cloud on AWS, a storage deep dive. Ben is the PM. On that topic, Matt is one of our lead engineers, and Matt is a really, really good presenter. I've seen him present at radio as well. He was presenting with Christos, and up on stage, the way he explained the story, some of the different use cases, they were talking on a different topic back then, but you know, the way he presented it, how he explained it, you know, I don't think any of us would have been capable of doing a better job. And actually, the way he explained it is how I felt we should be explaining it to our SE. So the VMware Cloud on AWS Storage Deep Dive, I suspect that that's going to be a really interesting session, especially because it's something that's new. No one has really spoken about some of the details of the implementation of VMware Cloud on AWS.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the guys presenting it, I know they will do it a good job.
Oh yeah, Ben's a pro for sure. But the reason I like that one is because it's not just the VMware Cloud on AWS. I've heard the pitch for VMware Cloud on AWS. I'm certainly looking forward to actually starting to test it when I get my chance. But I like this one because it specifies this is a storage deep dive. So very curious to see where Ben takes this one.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting to hear about some of the implementation details. I've heard about the implementation details a while ago, and some of them were surprising in terms of what kind of hardware is being used and you know, how vSAN is being used in those setups and you name it. So that's definitely going to be an interesting one. You know, again, storage, but I have to mention this one because otherwise Cormac is going to kill me. So this one is by Cody Hosterman and Cormac Hogan, a deep dive into vSphere 6.5 core storage features and functionality.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about vSAN. It's all about, you know, VMFS, VAI, Vasa, you know, what's new in 6.5 for core storage. What are the new things that we introduced? And that is actually, the funny thing is that we haven't spoken about it into great depth. I know you guys, I think you guys did a podcast with them, right?
Yep.
But other than that, you know, there was a white paper that Cody wrote together with Cormac, and I have to say they are probably my two favorite storage bloggers.
Yeah.
So I suspect that this is going to be a great session. I've never seen them presenting together, so it's going to be interesting to see how they work together up on stage, because, you know, there needs to be some kind of chemistry or interaction between the two. But, you know, it's going to be a session where you will get information that you won't be able to find anywhere else. I don't think there are two people within the industry that know more about core storage than these two guys. Cody has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Worked for many different storage vendors, now at Pure Storage. And well, yeah, Cormac has been around for ages. I mean, I wanted to make a comment about his gray hair, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. Cody's a rock star. I co-presented with him about 2 weeks ago at Pure Accelerate, and we were looking at their new VVOL implementation. And he is the kind of guy where I tell him this all the time. Basically, he's the kind of guy where you just pull a string and let him go. I mean, he's put in the hours. He knows the content, and Cormac's the same. These guys are two pros. This is a session you don't want to miss.
Yeah, I fully agree. So there was a funny one on the list because it's the Extreme Performance series. And I just said all, which means all of the sessions. I don't know if you looked at their schedule, but there's, you know, maybe a dozen extreme performance series sessions on there. Some of them deal about the hypervisor. Some of them are about storage, networking. They're different topics. And it's our internal performance team that does these sessions. And these guys, just like Ravi, they spend 99.9% of their time just testing the hell out of ESXi, out of vSphere, out of vCenter, out of the different storage systems, out of different network configurations, trying to figure out what works well, what doesn't work well, you know, tweak the different advanced settings, see how you can get the most out of a host, out of how you get the most out of a cluster. And, you know, they go to great length to test all of these different configuration options. And I've attended a whole bunch of these sessions, and every single time they were very, very valuable. There's always something you can get out of those sessions. So the Extreme Performance series is definitely worth attending. Just pick any of the sessions, you know, figure out which one relates to your environment and attend those, because it's going to be a great session for sure. Whether it's on memory, CPU, whether it's on the hypervisor itself, there's going to be something there that, you know, is going to surprise you or shock you, maybe, you know, depending on how you look at it. There's one more I wanted to mention, because it's the odd one in the list. It's the one by Rob Glansman and Nicola. It's Sustainability as a Competitive Advantage. It's probably not going to be a technical session. I've known Rob for a long time. I worked with him when I was part of the Evo Rail team. And a while ago, some of you may remember this, I went on a adventure, as I would call it. I went to Vietnam, and Nicola was one of the people that organized that trip to Vietnam. We set up a couple of computer labs in orphanages. And Nicola back then ran that program, and she's now part of the sustainable, or she runs the sustainability program within VMware. And this session is all about the sustainability program within VMware and how you can apply sustainability to your own environment and what competitive potential advantage is for your company. And I think it's interesting, because it doesn't really fit into the, you know, the broader scheme. If you look at the majority of the sessions, they're all extremely technical, not a lot of really business related, and especially not related to sustainability. So, you know, that one piqued my interest. I've seen Nicola presenting before. And if anyone can tell a story, if anyone can present extremely well, it's Nicola. I was extremely impressed with her presentation skills. I've seen her presenting a couple of times, and you know, whether it's 10 slides in 15 minutes, she nails it. She kills it every single time. I don't know how often she rehearses it, but it comes across as extremely natural. She's just she's a champion when it comes to doing these things. So, you know, that's one of the sessions that I'm really looking forward to. And it's also, you know, something different for a change, which is nice.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I guess I got a couple of minutes left. So there's I have two sessions myself. There's one I'm doing with Cormac Hogan. It's the top 10 things to know about vSAN. We'll be discussing, you know, various different things. What the impact is of rebooting a host at a random moment while the cluster is resyncing, for instance. Or, you know, what the impact is of the networking changes that were introduced recently, going from multicast to unicast. Or, you know, what kind of functionality is enabled on a clustering level, and what kind of functionality is enabled through policy. So we'll be going over all of these different things. Cormac will probably be doing five of those, and I'll be doing five of those as well. The other one that I'm doing is an introduction to software-defined storage. I'm doing that with Lee Dilworth. It's going to be a quick talk, so it's only going to be 30 minutes. Last year, we did the same session or a similar session, and the year before that as well. The funny thing is that the first time that we did the session, we had a lot of comments, people giving feedback, which is always great, but people were saying the session was too short. Well, guess what? You know, that's the concept of a quick talk. It's supposed to be 30 minutes. We kind of changed the session up this year. So what we'll be doing is we're going to be going to give a short introduction, 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll be doing a demo. So the plan right now is for us to create a larger environment with vSAN, virtual volumes, the vSphere APIs for IO filtering, maybe one or two plugins, and then through a demo, show you guys what the power is of software-defined storage. So that's one I'm really looking forward to, because 75% of the content is going to be a demo. It's not going to be slideware. It's going to be pure demo. So that's one I'm looking forward to, because I have never done that before, at least not for, you know, such a large portion of the session itself.
Nice. Fun fact, the very first session I ever attended at VMworld was Lee Dilworth and Duncan Epping. And so, yeah. you guys have a long history of co-presenting together, so I'm sure that'll be a great one.
Let me guess, it wasn't stretch clustering.
Yes, it was. It was awesome.
Yeah, Lee is one of those guys. It's it's funny because, like I said, with certain people, you have a chemistry, you have an interaction going on, and Lee is one of those guys. You go up on stage with him, and you kind of know what to expect. You know what he's going to talk about, and you kind of know, if for whatever reason, you lose track or whatever it is, you can rely on him. He's a very stable factor up on stage.
He's a pro. He's so natural.
He is a rock star. Exactly. I really like presenting with him. He's a really, really great presenter.
I just got to hang out with Lee last week, and he knows how to work a crowd. I'll say that. So
it's those Brits, man. That accent. It's not fair, man. It's just not fair. We don't sound as cool as they do just talking. They don't even have to know what they're talking about. It just so happens that Lee does know what he's talking about.
Well, to be honest, the majority of comments that we get is that from an accent perspective, seems to be challenging for most Americans. So when we read our feedback, like 80% of the comments are about his accent, while he's from the UK, like, and a native speaker. So we always get those weird comments, like they think he's from Australia or from New Zealand. They think I'm from South Africa or Denmark or a random other country in the world. You pick it. It's never the Netherlands. It's always a different country somewhere else.
No, wait, South Africa? Now that I think about it, you do sound like a bad guy in a Die Hard movie, so I can see that.
Well, South Africa makes sense, right? I mean, Afrikaans is extremely close to Dutch, so, I can get that. But some of the comments that I've seen, Scottish, Irish, you name it, they don't make, or at least to me, they don't make a lot of sense. Maybe to other people they do, but to me, they don't.
I love the comments. I attended Cormac. He co-presented with Powdy, both from Ireland. And my comment that I left in their session was, I really like that Irish guy.
I recall Cormac saying something about that. And he literally said, I'm pretty sure that was Pete.
He would be right. Yeah. John, what was your most interesting feedback at a VMworld session?
I don't know. I just always remember the too technical, not technical enough, like right next to each other. I was warned it would happen, and sure enough, actually, the most interesting feedback, this was actually not a VMworld. This was another conference years ago. I had someone say incredibly awkward, incredibly bad. Was so awkward I was scared to leave the room, but it was like I got like 40 other like glowing comments, and then I had that, and I was like, someone just trying to mess with me. Like you were always told that you'll get some off the wall feedback and you need to throw out the outliers, but that was like the most amusing weird feedback I've ever received.
What I've learned over the years, I've always been reading the feedback, and I know a lot of people stopped reading them, but I just like to know what people think about the session, if there's anything I can change for the upcoming events or whatever it is. But what I've learned is that, some people just end up sitting in the wrong session, or they didn't read the description, or, didn't understand what it was about. So then you get feedback that doesn't make any sense. And in some cases, people have been attending 6, 7, 8 sessions a day. So in some cases, they don't even recall, which session it was. So you may be getting feedback that wasn't even about you, right? So it could be about someone else with a completely different session, or...
Yeah.
You've got a storage session. It's about like NetFlow and VTEP bridges. You're like, wait a minute. I did not lead an NSX session. Why is any of this coming up? Like,
exactly. And that's going to happen anytime. I just look at the rating. If the rating is okay, typically they give you the average for VMworld. If the average is 3.8 and you score higher than that, I think then you did a good job. That's what I look at, and don't take too much notice some of those comments.
All right, so that's a pretty good idea. Some of the sessions that are going to be out there. Of course, there's going to be a ton more. I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, how do you have this and not talk about Alan Renouf sessions? William Lamb sessions obviously are going to be amazing. So there's a ton of great sessions out there, but I'm glad that we were able to share a few. Why don't we pivot on to some of the tips and tricks, if you will, for how to survive VMworld if you are a new attendee or a returning attendee. I'll start off, and I will say lots of water and not so much alcohol. Seriously, this is if you really want to enjoy the sessions, I would highly recommend, not coming to every session hungover, enjoy yourself, but, come to actually learn. And especially if you're presenting, nobody wants to see somebody, that's been out all night presenting in the morning. So do us all a favor. And on the nights that you're presenting, maybe take it a little lighter.
Yeah, I'll second that. Becoming a presenter is a sobering experience, definitely in more ways than one, when you get your schedule and you realize, oh, there's the big party. And the next morning, I'm speaking at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Also, shout out to everyone who actually showed up to my vSAN service provider right after the night after the vSAN or the morning after the vSAN party. I was like, we're going to have 12 people in here. But no, we actually had a good house. So I will say this is not a... What's impressed me about VMworld is I go to other conferences, and if they're in Vegas and you go to an 8:30 or an 8 o'clock session, it is a ghost town. I've been at, and this is, I won't say which conference it was, but I remember showing up to a ballroom that was clearly designed for 300, 500 people. And there were six people in the session. It was me and two other people in tech marketing. And we're just like, wow. Like, clearly this is an excuse for people to come to Vegas and enjoy Vegas. But VMworld, the sessions are good. The speakers are the best in the industry. I mean, bring your A game. Be ready to come to the sessions.
You know what the worst part is of a session when there's only six people in there? If the session really sucks, it's going to be really difficult to walk out of it. It's, you know, it doesn't feel right. If there's only six people in the room, there's a guy doing his best. But, you know, it's still, you could end up in the, like I said, you may have ended up in the wrong session. I've had that in the past where I would sit down. And then after 10 minutes, I realized, oh, damn, I walked into the wrong room. But there's only, in that case, there were only two people in the room. It was literally the guy sitting next to me and the presenter up on stage. So the three people, including the presenter. You're not going to walk out on that guy because he's doing his best as well, right? So that's the challenging part when it comes to those types of sessions.
You don't pick up your cell phone and be like, oh, I got to take this.
Yeah, that's probably one of my tips as well. If you do attend sessions, switch off your phone. If you have to take your phone, don't take it in the room itself.
Oh, yeah.
Walk out and then pick up the phone. I've had it during my sessions in the past where people would pick up the phone. And to be honest, if you're a presenter, and especially if it's one of your first times presenting at a VMworld, it's probably one of the worst things that can happen because you're hypersensitive. You can hear every single word that guy is saying, and you end up losing focus. So you start tripping over your slide and you name it. So, you know, if you're one of the attendees, make sure to take that into consideration when someone is doing his best to present. The other thing that I wanted to mention is clean socks, because every year, every blogger says clean socks. I have no clue why you would say that, because I typically assume that most of the attendees actually bring clean socks.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's it's a popular tip for a lot of the blogs. Bring clean socks and change them once a day. You know, for me, has never been necessary, but maybe it works. I don't know.
Yeah.
So on the footwear comment, I used to go to the Target across the street from the Moscone for this, but there's a Walgreens and CVS's on the strip. I highly recommend, like, I always get some Dr. Scholl's, like the implant, you know, the gel things. So that way it makes spending, you know, 14 hours a day on your feet immensely better. And you can, the other thing is, if you forget something, be it socks, shoes, belt, what, you know, something, whatever you forget there, since we'll be in Vegas, there's CVS and Walgreens on the strip. Also Amazon, they have a local warehouse and they will do the 1 or 2 hour delivery.
Is it by drone?
So it's not by drone, sadly. Like last time I was in Vegas for some reason and I forgot the XLR cable for my microphone for recording the podcast. And I was able to get one within 2 hours from Amazon. So just be aware if you forget things, there's ways to get a hold of stuff.
Nice.
But that seems to be the general theme, John, because I remember last time I was in Vegas, you actually forgot your shoes. You were walking around in flip-flops. I don't know what it is with you. I'm hoping next time it's not going to be your pants. The other thing I would say is pace yourself. I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes. You know, the first evening, a lot of people go all out. And then, you know, it's a Saturday when you arrive typically. You know, Sunday, the first session starts. Saturday evening, people have a lot of fun. Sunday evening, people go out, ends up being late. And then on Monday, that's typically where majority of the interesting sessions are scheduled, because that's when all of the announcements are starting to come out. So pace yourself. Make sure that you're ready for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and potentially even Thursday. It's a lot of it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of different events to attend, a lot of different sessions. And you know, talking about the different events, make sure to plan ahead to attend a lot of the parties. There's going to be a gazillion parties out there. Typically, you know, what I did in the past is I would have a list of all of the different parties per evening. I would sign up for everything and then attend three or four. These days, my general tip is try to figure out where most of your friends will be and just pick one and go to that party, hang out with your friends, have fun, and then I end up going to bed early because I'm jet lagged and I typically need to present the next day. So I want to be fresh as well when I wake up at 3 a.m.
Another thing to remember is, I mean, I remember my first going to, I think it was Partner Exchange actually, prior to VMworld, is I scheduled every single hour of every single day in a session. And then I quickly realized as I went to further VMworlds and Partner Exchanges that you don't necessarily want to be sitting in sessions, you know, 6 hours a day straight. And so make sure to put some breaks in there for lunch. Make sure to put some breaks in there to go by the Solution Center. And realize that while you're there, you can also schedule meetings with your SEs or with overlay team. So if you want to know more about vSAN or NSX or SRM or things like that, you can actually work with your team, your sales teams, and actually schedule meetings with the experts if you want to go into some specific scenario deep dives and things like that. And EBCs and or VBCs and things like that.
Yeah, I used to do the same thing. I scheduled a full day worth of sessions. But the key reason was back in the days, none of the sessions were recorded. And a lot of the sessions these days are recorded. So if I can't attend them physically, I'll just watch the recording afterwards. And I, you know, typically have a long list of recordings to watch, at least all of the sessions on my list. And normally after VMworld, there's 20, 30 sessions, probably even more that I'll watch after the event. Some of the sessions that people were tweeting about, to follow some of the hashtags, try to figure out what people were excited about. And then I watch the sessions afterwards. So that's a good comment, John. Try to spend some time at the Solution Exchange, talk to some of the vendors out there. Some of the things that you're interested in, there's going to be a lot of startups in the Solutions Exchange. Typically, some of those you may not be familiar with, some of them you may be familiar with, but it's a good opportunity to talk to those guys, try to figure out what it is that they do and how they can help you moving forward in the journey towards a software-defined data center.
Yeah, and hands-on labs is another thing not to forget. While the hands-on labs are available online, there's people there to help you and proctor that. There's specialists and you've got lab captains that are there. So if there's some product you want to get some quick hands-on experience with and get some feedback from the guys who really know what they're doing.
Oh yeah.
It's not a bad place to go, kill an hour at a time and kind of break up the speeches.
And they're fresh too. Those hands-on labs are new. They're not just like recycling last year's hands-on labs. I've had the honor to work with that hands-on lab team, and they have a ton of folks that are building new labs constantly and just bringing and getting them all ready for VMworld. So be sure, even if you went there last year, there's going to be a lot of new stuff to go check out at the hands-on lab. And it always blows my mind how many workstations they have available for people to do hands-on labs in one place. I don't know the exact number, but it's always just, it's insane. There's so many workstations. So it's not like you're going to go there and have to wait for half an hour to jump onto a lab.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because they've got some of the operations guys there and they're fun to talk to if you get some time. Because you can actually, they'll have dashboards of the log inside of VROps instances for what's powering the labs, because they're producing, millions or zillions of VMs that they're cloning on the back end. And they'll actually be spanning, multiple data centers and public clouds and things like that. So it's interesting seeing what's powering that type of operation just because of the scale of what the labs do during the week.
Awesome sauce. And then the last thing I will say, we'll leave a link to this on the show notes, but there is Andreas Leshumer, sorry. He did a blog post on running-system.com that covers all of the VMworld parties that are out there, whether it's the vExpert, the reception, the hall crawl, all that stuff. So if you want a comprehensive list, we'll be sure to leave that on the show notes. Awesome. All right. Before we go, anything else, John, Duncan, you guys have any other tips, tricks, anything that we should mention on this VMworld preview?
I think there's going to be a storage and availability party again, a vSAN party. Not sure how you can get an invite, but if you can, make sure to attend that one, because that one has been pretty crazy for the past 2 years.
Yeah, just reach out to John.
Yeah,
Nicholson.
Yeah. I see what this is going. My Twitter is going to be exploding with requests. So,
all right. So I'm going to do the outro. What was the one that we're going to do for next week? The one that you said, what was the title of it? Something about the alternate use case or something?
Going off road. There's, always best practices and reference architectures, but occasionally there's reasons to break, rules were meant to be broken. When do you choose to go off road, and what are some examples of customers who had, successful outcomes and reasons for stepping outside of some of the normal considered general best practices?
vSAN off road. I like it. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to be talking to Frank Denneman about a host resources deep dive or VSAN off-road. And so until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.